Now let's turn back to Mark chapter 10. Mark the 10th chapter. My text is verse 49. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. I marvel at the feet of Joshua, who stood over the battlefield of Israel and cried, "Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, stand thou still." And the scripture says the sun stood still, and the moon stood still until the battle was won. And yet in my text today, he who created the sun, he who created the moon, he in whom the sun and the moon move and have their being, he who made the light and he who created the darkness, he the sovereign God of the universe, stood still at the words of a blind beggar. He stood still. Now, it's something when Joshua stood out there over that battlefield and cried, "Sun, stand still. Moon, stand still." And they did until the battle was won. But here's the one who created the sun and the moon. Here's the one in whom the sun moves and has its being, who created the light and the darkness. He stood still at the words of a poor beggar outside the city of Jericho. It says Jesus stood still. Now the Savior is the same today, isn't he? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if back yonder 2,000 years ago, he'll stop and stand still at the word of a poor beggar, I believe he'll stand still today at the cry of a poor beggar, if I can find me one. They're hard to find. But if I can find a blind beggar, poor, bankrupt, helpless, hopeless, if I can find one who's motivated by the Holy Spirit to cry, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," I believe the Master will stand still today. The hymn writer put it this way, "Stopped by a sinner's prayer, he could no further move. At the sinner's cry, he stood still to manifest his love. He waits now to show his grace, and he calls this poor blind beggar to seek his face." My friend, if you knew, now you think for a moment, if the Holy Spirit is pleased to apply this message to somebody's heart, you think for a moment, if you knew that the Master of heaven and earth, that the Lord of glory, that the Savior of sinners would stand still at your call, would you call? Would you call? If you knew that the Lord of heaven, the Master of heaven and earth, the Savior of sinners would stand still at your cry, if you knew that, would you cry? Well, let's look at the text that Milton read a moment ago, beginning with verse 46. And let me point out seven brief things, 7 points. Let's see if we can reconstruct this situation. Let's see if we can recreate this scene. Let's see if we can take our places at the roadside as Jesus passes by. And let's see if somebody here can cry out in his heart and have the Master stop and stand still and do a work of grace, a work of mercy for that sinner. I believe he will. I believe he will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Master, who was stopped by this blind beggar's cry, I believe he'll stop today if somebody will cry. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He said, "You come to me, I'll give you rest. You will not come to me that you might have life." That's the whole problem. Not his inability. It's your unwillingness. Now let's see the first thing. Verse 46. "And they came to Jericho." Look at verse 46 with me. "They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." I see three things in this verse about this man. Number one, I know who his father was. The Bible tells me his father was Timaeus. Now, there's a reason for that. I'm not sure I know what it is, but there's a reason for it. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. I know who his father was. Secondly, I know this man was blind. I know he was blind. Probably blind from birth. I don't know that for certain, but I do know he couldn't see. The third thing I know about him, he was very poor. If he had not have been very poor, he wouldn't have been sitting there by the highway side begging bread, begging money. Pitiful sight. Now, how does that relate to me? Well, first of all, I know who my father is. And I know who your father is. My father was Adam. Now, the reason Bartimaeus' father, Timaeus, was mentioned, as I said, I don't know. But it may be that his father had something to do with his blindness. It may be that Bartimaeus' blindness is related in some way to his father. I know this. I know my spiritual blindness is related to my father. I know it's because of him. I know my spiritual blindness and my poverty. I don't know. Blind Bartimaeus' father, Timaeus, might have been the town beggar. He might have been the town bum. He might have been a diseased man, and this boy was born blind because of his father. I know I was born spiritually blind because of my father. That's what the Bible tells me. Because of Adam. What does the Bible say? Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed on all men." Here sat a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. It may be that blindness was passed on to him in some way by his father. But I do know that my blindness and my poverty is the result of my father's sin. It says that in the Bible. "In Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered this world, and judgment and sin and death and condemnation and depravity passed on all men." I know the modern gospel denies original sin. But a man is a fool to deny original sin. "In Adam all died. Listen to Romans 5:12. "By one man's disobedience, by one man's act of rebellion, we were made sinners by one man." By that man was Adam. David said, "In sin my mother conceived me." I was born in sin, conceived in sin, brought forth speaking lies, estranged from God from the womb. The second thing about blind Bartimaeus, we know who his father was, and we know he was blind. And I know this. I know that you and I are spiritually blind by nature. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. Now listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This speaks of the spiritual blindness of natural men. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9, says this. "It is written in the Old Testament, and it's duplicated in the New. It is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." We're spiritually blind. The eye hath never seen. Christ said to the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, they see. I speak to the multitude in parable, because they having eyes cannot see, and they having ears cannot hear." And the natural man, the carnal man, the son of Adam, apart from the life-giving, light-giving, sight-giving power of the Holy Spirit, cannot see the mysteries of the gospel. He cannot see his sin, and he cannot see his Savior. He cannot see his guilt, and he cannot see the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 3. Listen to this. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." 2 Corinthians 4, 3. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." They're blinded. Bartimaeus sat by the wayside, blind. He could not see. And we sit by the wayside, the highway side of life, blind, dead in our trespasses and sin. Cannot hear, cannot see. And then the third thing about him, he was poor. He was in poverty. "All the treasures that I have will pass away, except those treasures which I have in glory." The rich fool lay upon his bed one night, and he said, "Soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." The Lord came to him and said, "Thou fool, this night shalt thy soul be required of thee, and then whose shall these things be that you've accumulated? You're wealthy to the flesh and in the flesh, but you're not rich toward God." I heard a little story one time. There was a very wealthy man who owned just a tremendous amount of land, and he was talking to a neighbor one day. He was bragging about what he had, what he owned. He and the neighbor were standing out in the middle of the field, and this man said to the neighbor, he said, "Look over that way. As far as you can see, everything you can see, I own it. Look over that way. As far as you can see, everything, I own it. Look in that direction. As far as you can see, everything you see, I own it. Look in that direction. As far as you can see, everything you can see, I own it." And the neighbor standing beside him said, "That's wonderful. You own everything in all four directions. But let me ask you a question. How much do you own in that direction?" And the neighbor bowed his head, because he was not rich toward God. My friends, all these things shall pass away. You don't own anything. I like what the black lady said to the preacher one day. She said, "My heavenly Father owns everything. You white folks just paying the tax on it." Not rich toward God. Spiritually blind, spiritually bankrupt, spiritually poverty-stricken, have nothing, know nothing, see nothing, hear nothing. That's the condition of Adam's sons. That's the condition of every human beggar by the wayside of life, if you could just see it. The second thing, look at verse 47. Turn back to Mark chapter 10. Verse 47, I love this verse. I could stay here the rest of the message. This is it right here. Listen. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, when he heard. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say. This is pure speculation. But I believe that Bartimaeus had heard of Christ before. I'm not sure of that. But now see if it doesn't indicate that. His cry indicates that he knew who Jesus Christ was. It certainly does. He didn't call him miracle worker. He didn't call him glorified reformer. He didn't call him Jesus Christ superstar. He said, "Jesus, Messiah, thou Son of David." That's exactly what he said. I kind of think that perhaps someone had told him about Christ. Someone there in Jericho had told him that a man down yonder in Capernaum who was blind had been healed. I believe one of his friends must have come by one day and said, "Bartimaeus, I know you're blind and I know you appreciate this. There was an old boy down there in Capernaum that was as blind as you are. He was blind from birth. And there was a man called Jesus, and some say he's the Messiah. Some say he's the Christ. He was born in Bethlehem, and doesn't the prophet say that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem? And he's got Herod on the run, and he's got Pilate talking to himself, and he's got the chief priests gnashing their teeth and sending false witnesses out against him. He's upset the whole world, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus, believe me, all he did was just touch the eyes of that man down there in Capernaum, and he could see. That man, I was there, I saw it myself, I know what I'm talking about. That man who was stone blind, just as blind as you are, all Jesus of Nazareth said was, you can see, and that man could see. And Bartimaeus, I know, said, oh, tell it again, tell it again. Tell me how this man who was blind could see at the words of this man of Nazareth. Is not this the Messiah? Didn't I hear someone say the Messiah is sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and recover sight to the blind? Isn't that what it says in Isaiah the prophet? And his friend says, that's what it says. Oh, Bartimaeus clapped his hands and said, then there's hope for me. I hope Jesus crosses my path. And hear that one day, all that commotion. And he said, what is it? What is it? And somebody said, it's Jesus of Nazareth. He's here. And Bartimaeus cried out. This man meant business. This was no half-hearted effort. He was blind, and only Christ could make him whole. And Christ was right there, right in front of him. Their paths had crossed. And he cried out, Jesus, that Savior, that's Joshua. Thou Son of David, that's King, Messiah, the promised prophet, priest, and king. Have mercy, that sovereign mercy to the undeserving. Not justice, not what I deserve, not what we Jews ought to have. Have mercy, I don't merit it or deserve it. Thou Son of David, thou sovereign Lord, thou Messiah, have mercy on me. Have you heard the gospel of Christ? Have I heard it? Does it relate to my need? When that man came to Bartimaeus and told him about Jesus, healing the blind man, it related to his need. I'm a blind man. I need healing. He healed that man. He can heal me. That man couldn't make himself whole. I can't make myself whole. But oh, if he ever crosses my path, if he ever crosses my path, I'm going to cry out. I'm going to cry. And that glorious day came, just like the publican in the temple who stood there and said, Lord! And you'll never be saved till he becomes your Lord. You'll never be saved till he becomes your Lord. You don't play around at this thing. This man, you look at his cry. It's Jesus, thou Son of David. Capital S-O-N, thou Son of David. Thou promised Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. I know it. I wish you'd have mercy on me. You don't owe it to me now. Mercy. Mercy. There's several key things. As I said, you can stay there all night. Jesus, Savior, Son of David, Messiah. Mercy. Sovereign mercy. Have mercy on me. On who? On me. On me. My sins are ever before me. I'm the one that needs hell. I'm the one. Have you ever isolated yourself in the cesspool of sin? Are you busy talking about everybody else's shortcomings and everybody else's infirmities and everybody else's sin? Lord, have mercy on my family. That won't do. Lord, have mercy on America. God's not going to have mercy on America or any other nation. No nation's ever as a whole turned to God. Name one illustration. God's going to have mercy on me. He saves people one by one on me. It's a personal conviction, it's a personal repentance, and it's a personal contrition, and it's a personal faith, and it's a personal relationship, a vital union with the living Lord on me. Now look at the next verse. This would break your heart. This break the heart of the devil off, you say, if he had one. Look at the next verse. And many charged him that he'd hold his peace. You know what that means? That means folks around him said, hush, Bartimaeus. Don't make so much noise. Don't get so excited, Bartimaeus. The people about him would have kept him from Christ if they could. That's right. They discouraged him. They didn't say, hey, Lord, here, Bartimaeus is crying for you. They said, Bartimaeus, shut your mouth. Get back in your place, Bartimaeus. You know why they did that? First of all, they didn't know what it was to be blind. They didn't know. Second place, they didn't believe in the power of Christ to heal. In the third place, they didn't want him disturbing their customs. In the fourth place, they were not interested in the glory of the Redeemer. And my friend, when you start seeking the Lord, when you get under what we call Holy Ghost conviction, and don't get too high and mighty that you can't use Bible terms. Don't get so liberal and modern that you can't go back to the old Bible language. That's what it is. It's Holy Ghost conviction. It's sovereign mercy. It's divine grace. It's blood atonement. It's seeking the Lord. It's crying for mercy. That's what it is. And I'm telling you this, when you get under Holy Spirit conviction, now you listen to me, if you don't hear anything else I say, I want to warn you right here. This is important. You'll be discouraged by your family, by your parents, by your friends, and by the people you work with. They don't mind you getting religion, but they don't want you to come to know the Lord. They don't mind you joining some denomination or being nice and going to church on Sunday, but they don't want you sold out for Christ. You know why? There are four reasons. They've never been aware of their own blindness. They've never been lost, so they don't know what it means to be lost. Oh, blind Bartimaeus, you just shut your eyes for a moment and realize what it means to be blind. Huh? And here you are sitting in your darkness, and you've been there all your life, and you're totally blind. You've never seen. And here the good news has come to you that there's a man who can make you whole, who can give you eyes. And he's right there in front of you, somewhere out there in front of you. You hear his footstep, and you cry, Lord, that I might see. And some jackleg standing beside you that don't know A from Zizzard or Hell from Hall River, as L.R. Shelton used to say, says, hush, don't get excited. He's never been lost. He don't know what it means. I get real mad sometimes when somebody gets interested in the gospel and some person comes along who doesn't know Genesis from Revelations or John from Nehemiah and says, now don't go down there to church. Go somewhere else. They've never been blind. They don't know what it means to be lost. They don't know what it means to be on your road to hell. They are, but they don't know it. That's right. Excuse me for feeling that way, but it antagonizes me to no end. They don't believe in the power of Christ to heal. They think salvation's in some altar, salvation's in some water somewhere, salvation in some preacher, salvation in some denomination, or salvation's in some law. They don't know. It's in Christ. That's where it is. And when you start talking about your denominations and your preachers and your Holy Ghost revivals and all that stuff, they can understand that kind of language. But when you talk about Christ and His power to save, they don't know what you're talking about. And they're going to keep you out of heaven if they can. Now, they don't know what they're doing. They're blind, too. But they don't know it. And they don't want their man-made religion to be disturbed. They don't want their customs disturbed. But thank God this man didn't listen to them. What if he had, huh? What if he had? You come to church and God starts showing you some things you've never seen. God opens your heart to some things you've never seen. You come to realize the depths of sin, the depravity of the human heart, the power of Christ to save, the inability of the churches and preachers of this generation to help you, to give you peace, and you get disturbed, and you meet some idiot, and he says, don't you go back down there. They ought to declare a bounty on them and pay $50 for their scalps. That's exactly what they ought to do. They don't know what they're talking about. And that's what these people, Bartimaeus, hush! But thank God, look at that next verse. He had some sense. I hope you have. He cried out the more. A great deal. I'm not going to hush. I'm not going to let him go till he blesses me. Like Lester said the other Wednesday night, the only way you keep me out of here is lock the door. Only way, lock the door. And my friend, I'm going to where somebody's preaching Christ. I'm going down there. I'm going to cry out of my hungry heart, out of my weary spirit, tired of darkness. I dare you. Let me tell you something. You who are seeking the Lord in truth, the next time that person comes to you and says, don't you go down here, and don't you listen to this, don't you do that, you turn to them and say, now in kindness, you don't have anything to give me. You don't know the Lord. God's never done anything for you. How can you lead me? Huh? How can you lead me? What you ought to do is go with me. Like Moses said to his father-in-law, come and go with me, and we'll do you good. There's nothing in the cesspools of this world. There's nothing in these compromising, modernistic, liberal churches. There's nothing in this flesh-seeking religion. Let's get out of it. Let's go to Christ. Let's get out of it. Ichabod's written on the door. Let's get out of it. People come to me all the time. They say, well, they're not preaching anything down at our church where I go to church. They're not preaching a thing. Pastor don't preach the gospel. They just play in church down there. I say, why don't you get out then? Well, Mama always went there and Daddy always went there. You know, I've been there all these years and we helped build the building and I'm not going to eat garbage just because I built the table, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to stay in a house that's burning down just because I bought and paid for it. That's how much sense it makes. And I'll tell you this, the person who supports the man who's not preaching the gospel is just as guilty as that man in the sight of God. If you drive an automobile and you park in front of the bank while your buddy runs in and robs it, they'll put you in jail. And if you furnish an automobile for a man to ride around in and preach heresy, you're just as responsible as he is. And I'll tell you what I'd do, and I'm being honest with you. If my pastor didn't preach the gospel, I'd leave there so quick it'd make your head swim. I wouldn't even take time to say goodbye. I'd shake the dust off my feet and walk away as fast as I could. And people need some courage to do those things, I know. But this man, he cried out for mercy, and those people around him said, hush! He said, I'm not going to hush. I'm seeking the Lord. All right, look at the next verse, a blind man's Lord. Oh, this is beautiful. Listen. And as he cried out, here's a hungry-hearted sinner. Here's a broken-hearted sinner. Here's a blind beggar who needs mercy. And he cries out, and it says, and Jesus stood still. What made the Lord stop? Herod couldn't have stopped him. Pilate couldn't have stopped him. The chief priests and Sadducees couldn't have stopped him. Even his beloved apostle Peter couldn't stop him. Peter said, Lord, don't go to the cross. He said, you get behind me, Satan. You savor us not the things of God. Who stopped him? I'll tell you who stopped him. It was the sincere, heartfelt cry of a sinner in need. That's what it was. Is there a sinner here? Is there a fallen woman here? I bet you $1.50 and a count of cash ain't one here. But my Lord saved every one of them he met. Now, if I can find one, if I can find a woman who is nothing, knows nothing, and has nothing, she's a daughter of Eve. She's a daughter of Adam. She's a fallen woman by original sin, by actual sin, by nature, by thoughts, by imagination, by deed. She's a fallen son of Adam, or daughter of Adam. Is there a sinner here? I mean an undeserving, ill-deserving, hell-deserving, lost sinner in need, desperate need, lost by nature. If I can find me one, and that sinner knows his need and believes that Christ is who God says he is, believes the record that God has given concerning his Son. He's the Redeemer. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. By his death on the cross, he atoned for our sins. As our great high priest, he went into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies in glory and laid down his blood as an atonement on the mercy seat for our sins. And he pleads with the Father as our intercessor, pleads the wounds in his hands and feet and side. If I can find me a sinner who is at the highway side of life begging, clothed in rags, blind, and he cries, Christ will stand still right now. I know that. I don't know your heart. Maybe you do. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I do know this. Any person who's made aware of his guilt, like David who said, my sins are ever before me. Any person who can't help himself, like blind Bartimaeus, he's blind and can't do anything about it, who needs the mercy of God. Any person who Bartimaeus couldn't see physically, but boy, he could see spiritually. He knew who that was. I know who he is. He's Jesus Christ, the Son of David. You know who he is? You know why he came to this earth? Do you know what he did on that cross? Do you know why he did it? That God might be just and justified. Do you believe on him? Huh? Do you believe on him? And Jesus stood still. What made him stop? The broken-hearted cry, the desperate, sincere cry of a sinner in need. That's what did him. Now, Bartimaeus wasn't playing games. Don't you play games with God, he'll send you to hell. He wasn't playing games. He was blind, and he knew it. He was poverty-stricken. He was hungry. He was weary. He was thirsty. He was miserable. He needed help. And he didn't go to the preacher, and he didn't go to the Pharisee, and he didn't go to the doctor, the Reverend Most High Doctor. He went to the Lord. And he said, Jesus, thou Son of David, O God, have mercy. Have mercy. And the Lord Jesus stopped and commanded the blind man to come to be called. And they turned to Bartimaeus and they said, he's calling you. Oh boy, he stopped. And he stood still. Good night. I'll bet Bartimaeus' heart beat 100 miles an hour. He stopped. And he's calling you. Now look at that blind man's response. Watch it now, verse 50. And he cast away his garment. All right, now I'm going to make you mad, but stay with me, will you? Anybody here who's seeking the Lord, listen to me now. If you can't apply the Word of God, quit reading it. Quit preaching it. He cast away his garment. I don't know what his garment was. Let me speculate a little. It might have been a blanket to keep him warm while he begged. But he wasn't going to need that blanket no more. He wasn't coming back blind. He threw it away. Maybe it's a special covering. You know, the blind people carry white canes. Maybe he had a special covering, tent-like thing to keep folks from stumbling over him as he sat by the wayside in his dirt and squalor and filth and begged while he was blind, but he wasn't going to need that anymore. He threw it away. He's going to the Lord. He didn't want anything to hinder him. listen to me. If you want salvation, if you want Christ, if He at your cry has stopped and stood still, and this morning He's speaking to you through me as an ambassador of Christ, that you've got His attention, and He commands you to be called, I'm saying this, you cast away everything that hinders you. It may be your friends. It may be your family. It may be your false religion. It may be that empty heretical church you're going to. It may be some hypocritical cover. Huh? Are you serious about this thing? The Lord, He's commanding you to come. Bartimaeus, well, get all the stuff together here now so I can take it with me. No. Boy, he threw it off. And he ran to Jesus. He ran. Oh, well, he never need that junk anymore. He's not going to belong to the blind society no more. He's going to belong to those that see. You know, I just don't imagine he hung around with the blind folks anymore after that. You? Reckon he did? He hung around with folks that could see. It always worries me to see folks hanging around with blind people. They say, I can see. All my buddies are blind, but I can see. What y'all got in common? Huh? What y'all got in common? He arose. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me and rest. Lay down, thy weary one, thy head on my breast. And I came to Jesus, weary and worn and sad. And I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. I'll go to Jesus, though my sins like mountains round me rose. I know His courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. If any man love father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, yea, his own life more than me, he's not worthy of me. He's not worthy of me. He casting away His garment, He came to Jesus. I don't mind telling you that a believer is going to burn his bridges behind him because he don't have any plans to go back. You know, they tell me a great general landed his army, took them by boats, amphibious force, to a foreign shore on an invasion attempt. And when he landed all of his supplies and all of his troops on the sands of that little island, they looked back and he'd set fire to all the ships. He said, we're not leaving. We're not retreating. We came here to conquer and we're going to stay right here. And I believe a man, I hear preachers say, well, try Jesus for a while. You can't do it that way. In no way. You don't try Jesus. He's too big for that. You might try on a pair of breeches, but you don't try on the Lord. You see, the King comes in and conquers. We don't have any plans on going back. People who do go back are like dogs that return to the vomit, and they were anything but dogs, and hogs that return to their wallet, and they were anything but hogs. Look at the sixth thing. Two more things. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said to him, Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might see. The Lord Jesus took him by the hand and said, what do you want? What do you want? Now let's be serious. What do you want? Right now, what do you want? Bartimaeus, there wasn't any stammering, stuttering, or hypocrisy. Lord, that I might see. And I ask you this morning, what do you want? You want wealth? Well, you came to the wrong place. You want popularity? You want an easy life? You came to the wrong place. You want a life free from sorrow and free from sickness and free from unhappiness and free from disappointment? I can't give you that. Can't offer it. Well, I ask you this. Do you want to see? You want spiritual light? You want spiritual life? You want to see the Lord? Christ will give you that. That I might see. That I might see. I want to see my Lord. I want to see His grace. I want to see His power. I want to see His face. That's what I want. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Look at the last thing, a blind beggar's blessings. Verse 52, and the Lord Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed the Lord. I know what a man's going to do when he meets the Lord. He's going to follow the Lord. I know what a man's going to do when he receives his sight. He's going to follow the one that made him see. No way he'll do otherwise. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They follow me. Is there a blind? Here's one. Unashamed before men, ashamed before God I am, but unashamed before people, because you're dug out of the same pit and hewed out of the same rock and dug out of the same old dunghill. Unashamed before men, I say I'm a blind, poverty-stricken, hungry, ill-deserving beggar sitting in my filth by the wayside. And one day Christ came by, and I said, Lord, thou King of kings and Lord of lords, you don't have to do it, but I wish you'd have mercy on me. He said, what do you want, you old guilty, filthy sinner? I said, I want to see. I want to see. If God ever brings you to that place, I believe he'll stand still. And he'll reach out and make you whole. Let's sing that little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Our dear Father, make us to see our blindness. Make us to understand our poverty. Make us to see vividly our filth and guilt and sin. Help us, Lord, to quit professing to be what we're not. Make us to see human nature, our nature, and all of its vileness and corruption and inability. And then, Lord, if it be pleasing in thy sight, let us see the Savior, all that we need in him. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The cleansing, powerful, redeeming grace of our Lord. And bring us to his feet in submission, repentance, and faith. In his name we pray. Amen.